Amen. Thank you, Pearsons. What a blessing. And that's a great, great song. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for being our haven of rest. Thank you that in you we are safe. Thank you that in you we have the very best friend that a person could ever have. And you're a true friend. And thank you so much for that. Thank you for sticking with us through thick and thin, through trials, through good times, through our own stubbornness, and you just stick with us. And thank you for being that friend. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts now. Give us what we need from your word. If there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, I pray you'd save them today. And speak to Christians as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I love that, and that's the title of the message this morning. There is a friend. You know, the world's looking for a friend. I mean, they're searching high and low and trying all kinds of things. Everybody needs a friend. A murderer needs a friend. The drug addicts need a friend. Prostitutes need a friend. Liars need a friend. Cheaters, murderers, those hooked on pornography. The abortionist needs a friend. Rapists, thieves, bullies. I mean, everybody needs a friend. Now, that little group right there, that's kind of tough for us. You know, we struggle a little bit with that group. We get a little nervous about them, and we're supposed to obviously forgive all people and all kinds of things like that. But again, that list, you know, you get your little list together, and some of those are a little hard for us to be a friend to. But look at Matthew 11 and verse 19 real quick. Matthew 11 and 19. And we see what we already know from the New Testament, from the Gospels. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. And look what they said about Jesus, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. They said Jesus was, they said, what about this guy? I mean, he's a friend of all these people that we don't want to be around these people. We don't like these people. These are people that, you know, they're sinful and, we don't want to be around. Well, they said, Jesus, this Jesus, he's a friend of those kinds of people. Thank God he is. And such were some of you. And thank God he is a friend. There is a friend. By the way, soul winning's all about that. Soul winning is about letting people know who need a friend, there is a friend. Letting people know who their lives are maybe doing very well, maybe they're prosperous, or maybe they're down in the gutter right now, but just letting all of them know, hey, there is a true friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And there is a friend that is really like that. And praise God for that. You know, we many times will kind of think we're a friend. And about the time we start thinking we're a friend, you know, our friend may wrong us somehow. Then we find out if we really are a friend or not, because we wrong Jesus all the time, but he's a friend. He stays true. He stays a friend. He sticks closer than a brother. You know, again, you say, well, you know, I'm a true friend. Well, just let that person do something you don't necessarily like, and you'll find out if you really are a true friend or not. It won't be long, and you'll be talking about them, or you'll be after them, or you'll be ignoring them, or whatever it is. But Jesus is never like that. Praise God, he is a friend. No matter what you do, it's amazing. He's just a friend. He's always there. He loves us. Now, he may have to deal with us. He may have to chasten us. By the way, he does that because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so his friendship is always there. It is always available to everybody. When you go soul winning, when you tell folks about Jesus, you can always have confidence that doesn't matter what they've done, he's willing and ready to be their friend. He's willing and ready to save their soul. He's willing and ready to love them. He's ready to take them in and comfort them and care for them and all of that. There is a friend. And again, thank God for that. You know, you watch kids and you watch them when they pick somebody for games. You ever do that where they're in sports and they'll pick teams? And don't you know, I always feel sorry for that guy that nobody picks or the last pick. And you always kind of feel bad about that. And that person maybe feels a little bit left out, a little bit rejected. And you kind of watch them. You know, they're picking. And, you know, here's a big old strong guy, and hey, I'll take him. And here's the next strongest guy. Well, and I'll take him. And then they go to the, you know, and it goes down. And here's this guy, you know. And he's almost terrified to even be picked because he's afraid what the response might be, you know? And you just kind of, hey, listen to me. With Jesus, it's never like that. Never like that with Jesus. Jesus, he wants to be your friend today. And no matter what you're going through, hey, teenager, you've been let down by a lot of friends. Jesus will never let you down. He is a true friend all the time. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. By the way, thank God it says that, because some of us have brothers and sisters. Yeah, so thank God. He's closer. He sticks with you all the time, no matter what. No matter what you do. No matter how attractive. You know, this list that I read, and the list, these publicans, these sinners, that Jesus was accused of being their friend. You know, it's not a very appealing list. It's certainly not in the who's who of who you want to invite over to your house. You know, hey, this guy, you know, this guy, he murdered several people, but he got out. You know, let's have him over for dinner. You know, you just kind of hesitate about that. Oh, that guy, yeah, he's been a thief, or he's a drug addict, or whatever. Yeah, let's have him over. I mean, we hesitate, but hey, Jesus doesn't hesitate. You know, oh, I know this person, they're a liar, and they're a cheater, and boy, they've stabbed me in the back a few times. Hey, let's have, you know, you kind of, well, I don't know if I want to be around them. But Jesus wants to be around. Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And see, that's how you don't ever have to feel left out with Jesus. You know, you may have to get on your knees before God and tell him that you've done some things that aren't right. But he's always right there. He's always right there to put his arms around you. He's always right there to pick you up. He's always right there to take care of you. He's always right there to meet your needs. I mean, he's a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wrote down several things and several points. I was thinking about, you know, when I was 17 years old, and that's when I got saved, but it was a hippie and involved in a little rock group and cussed and swore and lived a pretty wicked life and everything. And I remember I had no church background, didn't know anything about God. I mean, very little. My parents, every now and then, they would go to church. And I remember one time, I can remember it was either Christmas or Easter, and we went to a little Methodist church, and they had communion, they called it. And I remember kneeling at the altar. And I was very young, 6-7 years old, I'm guessing. And I remember we as a family took communion, but there was no gospel given. There was nothing said about being saved. And I remember fiddling with the flag was right there. And I remember fiddling with the flag as a little kid. And I don't remember anything about any learning anything at all. And so that was my background. And as I started going to gospel preaching churches, I remember the preacher talking about Jesus being a friend. I remember thinking, he wouldn't be my friend. I remember thinking, he didn't want anything to do with me. I remember thinking, boy, you know, he's friends with all those clean cut looking folks over there, not with this guy. You know, he wouldn't be interested in me. What a blessing to find out that he's my friend. What a great thing it is to find out that no matter what I've done, no matter what my past has been, by the way, he understands all that. Doesn't the Bible say he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? I mean, look at his background. Look at, again, he wasn't a sinner. He didn't sin, but he understood hurt. He understood pain. And he understands yours, too. That's why he's such a good friend. That's why he's such a good friend, because he knows what you're going through. He knows why you do what you do. He knows why I do what I do. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's why his crowd is a sorrowful crowd, a grieving crowd. That's why his crowd was a crowd that because of sin, their lives had been messed up. Because of sin, their lives had been a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow. Boy, he's a good friend. He's a good friend. Let me give you some points this morning. First of all, we see the responsibility of friendship. The responsibility of friendship. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, the worldly person today, their philosophy of that is, well, what's in it for me? You know, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of being your friend? What can I get out of this person? I mean, you know, people are always jockeying for position of friendship. And the whole basis is, what can I get out of this person? You know, I'm going to hang around this person because they'll take me to eat. I'm going to hang around this person because they'll give me some money. I'm going to hang around this person because they're going to do something for me. But understand, folks, that's not the responsibility of friendship. The responsibility of friendship is the way Jesus was, and that is, Jesus says, what's in it for you? Jesus says, I want to be your friend because of what I can do for you, not because of what you can do for me. It's how can I help you? I'm your friend because I want to help you. I'm your friend because I want to do something for you. I'm your friend because I have a gift, it's called eternal life, that I want to give you. I'm your friend because I have many more gifts that I want to give you. I'm your friend because I have peace that I want to give you. I'm your friend because I have the Holy Spirit that I want to give you. I'm your friend because I have comfort that I can give you. God says, I want to be your friend because of what I can give you. Boy, that's a friend. Proverbs 18:24. Again, our text, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That is so powerful because it's so opposite of our world today. It's so opposite of what a lot of our young people go through. A lot of young people as they're getting into that realm of friendship. It's so opposite of the idea of someone saying, I want to be your friend because of what I can do for you. I want to be your friend because of what I bring to help you. Wow. It's so opposite in this world of, well, what's in it for me? The friend must show himself friendly. That's a man that hath friends. He must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer. Sticketh closer. You know, you can't please everybody. In fact, truth of the matter is, you can't please many people. You ever find that out? If you haven't found it out, be in a position of leadership, you'll find it out real quick. I mean, Dad, you can't even please everybody in your house. You know, about the time you please, one child, the other one's mad at you. About the time you please the dog, the cat's upset. And let it be. But anyway, you're really going to have a hard time. But if your philosophy of friendship is, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Okay, you're not going to be able to please everybody, but Jesus can please everybody. That's the amazing thing. That's the amazing thing about the Lord Jesus. Here, Job said this. He said, my friends scorned me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Why did Job's friends scorn him? Well, Job, you know, you're not on top anymore. Well, Job, obviously you did something wrong. Now, we all know the story. We know that it wasn't Job that did something wrong. It was God saying, here's what you can do to Job, devil. You know? And Job, you know, so clear, my friends, he said, these friends, he said, miserable comforters are y'all. But God sure wasn't. God sure wasn't. God was able to take care of him. Mine eye poureth out tears to who? To God. Do you know that no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, you can always go to God and you can pour out your tears to him anytime. Anytime. You say, but I offended God. Oh, yeah, and he wants you to come. He requests that you come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What's he say? I'll give you rest. That's what a friend does. Oh, you know, I can't believe they did that to me. And God doesn't say that. God says, well, come to me. Just come to me. I'll take care of you. I'll love you. I'll give you rest. I'll help you. I'll forgive you. Amen. I'll forgive you, God says. He's a friend. He's a friend. But see, again, his whole basis of friendship is, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know, think about what kind of a friend you are to people. You know, oh boy, they did me wrong, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, or what. You know, you think about what kind of a friend are you? And I know none of us are going to match up to God. He is the very best friend, but it is a challenge and should be a challenge to us. My friends scorned me, Job said. At a time they could have loved him. At a time they should have had their arm around him. At a time they should have been trying to take care of him. At a time they should have been meeting his knee. But again, Job, you sinned and we don't want anything to do with you. How sad. You're not a friend. you're not a friend. Job's friends scorned him, but he had a friend. And that friend stuck with him. And that friend was closer than any brother. And he was able to pour out his tears unto God. I think about some of the friends that I've had, and some of the true friends that just hang in there. No matter how you do something foolish, no matter how you do something wrong, no matter even how you wrong them, perhaps, they're just right there. They're always there. And that always comes back to, boy, I've blown it with God so many times. Amen. Have you? Yeah, I mean, so many times. But he's still my friend. He is my very best friend. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. Isn't that good? No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. You're better off, rather than get on the phone, get on your knees. Rather than getting in the texting and everything, just get on your face before him. Because he's a friend. He is a friend. He knows what you did wrong, if you did wrong. He knows all the circumstances, and you know that he knows. And when you're sad, he can make you glad. He is a friend. Psalm 142, verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Amen. He cares and wants to be your friend. In fact, that's what matters to him the most, is your soul. And by the way, those who are really friends, they care about your soul more than they care about your physical things. They care about your soul. That's more important than even fun and games and everything else. Because a true friend, they'll speak the truth in love that'll help your soul. Amen. It's like the fellow I talked to at the fair, and he said, I came to Berean years ago, and I got saved at Berean, and I'm going to say it was probably 6 years ago he got saved here, and he said, but my problem is I then listened to my friends. And in my mind, I'm thinking they really weren't friends, probably. You know who his friends could have been? People here. A Sunday school teacher here. Youth director here. Folks here who would have cared about his soul more than whatever he could do for them. And this guy testified. He said, and I messed up my life. You find out who your friends are, if they really care about your soul or not. Or if they just care about themselves more than anything. The true friend is in it for you. And they want you to do well. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What really matters is the soul. If you're here today and you're not saved, Jesus wants to be your friend because he wants to save your soul. He wants you to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have abundant life. Amen. He's a friend, and a friend wants that. You know, it's amazing watching people who say they're friends, and they will try to tempt somebody to do something wrong so they can be in the same trouble that they're in. You know the old saying, misery loves company, but somebody who is like that isn't a friend. Somebody who says, I brought you along because I wanted you to experience the sorrow that I have, that's not a friend. And that is, again, that's our world that we live in. You know, the folks that have been in trouble, folks that have hurt their lives, it's amazing how they're always out here reaching out for other people to destroy their lives as well. Misery loves company. Not Jesus. He wants your life to be good. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants to be your friend. And so as we go to the prison, as we have an RU program, as we have a shepherd's ministry, as we have a bus ministry, you know, as long as you have ministries like that, and as long as your goal is, hey, we want to see God change your life, and we want you to have joy, and we want you to have happiness, and as long as that is our goal, and as long as that is the way we want to be a friend to our people around here, there will always be people. It'll always be. There will always be people going, well, you know, we don't want them. It reminds me of in Bern, Indiana. Our church was only about a year old, and we had started running our one bus, the blue bus. And all of a sudden, one summer, I got a phone call from one of the big churches in town. And they called up, and they said, hey, listen, we got some kids for you to pick up. I said, really? I said, what do you mean you got some kids? Now, you have to understand, Bern, Indiana is a town of about 3,000 people. Nowhere is far. Okay? At that time, I believe there was one stoplight. Nowhere is far. Nowhere is a long way. And so this pastor says, he says, well, I got some kids that you could pick up on your bus. I said, what do you mean some kids we can pick up on our bus? He said, well, he said they got saved at our vacation Bible school. I said, man, that's wonderful. I said, that's great, and praise the Lord for that. And I said, but I'm just kind of curious. I said, we'll be glad to pick them up. But I said, where do they live? And he said, well, they live over in Swiss Meadows. Now, Swiss Meadows, the slang for Swiss Meadows was Swiss ghettos. And in Bern, Indiana, there weren't a whole lot of bad areas, but Swiss Meadows was a bad area. And so immediately I got mad. Now, I was young back then. I hadn't become dignified enough. And I said, well, you know, why can't you pick them up? And he said, oh, well, none of our people go that way. He said, I thought they'd be perfect for your church. I said, they will be. And they were, and we did pick them up. And praise the Lord for that. And you know what? There's always, if you want to be a friend, look, if you want to be a friend, you will always have friends. If you really want to be a friend. If you'll always have friends. And understand this, if we preach Jesus Christ, there'll always be people. Now there's people get mad. And you know the crowd, they'll get upset sometimes. But you know, folks that are maybe not as lovely. I think about old David and his mighty men. You know, David's mighty men, they were the offscouring. David went and hid in the cave, and all the people that were in debt, the Bible says they were in debt. You could be a mighty man, amen? Yeah, and it was the people that were discontent. I mean, these folks were a mess. They were all having troubles. You know, they're having problems, and they all came to David. Why? Because David said, I'll be your friend. I'm not trying to get something out of you. I'll try to help you. Here, share the cave. You can have that room right there. And here they came, and they became mighty men because somebody became their friend. Amen. Amen. I mean, David, you know, that was the first rescue mission. Amen. And you care about that kind of person, and you'll always have friends. You will always have friends. There's never going to be a time that you will be friendless if you care about those kind of people. James 4:4 says this. It says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't be his friend. You can't say, God, I'm your friend, if you're friends with the world. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The world hates him. Okay? The world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't say, well, I want to kind of breach the gap here. I'm going to be friends with the world, and I'm going to... No. The Bible's very clear about that. You cannot do it. You cannot. You can't be his friend and be friends with the world, because they're enemies. And you know, again, the question is, what kind of a friend are we to him? What kind of a friend are you to him? He's a perfect friend. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's my friend. He's my friend. It challenges me to think, am I a friend to him? Or do I kind of lean toward the world sometimes and those that absolutely hate him? That's not a very good friend. Amen. Amen. But he's your friend. And even if you lean that way and you start becoming a little worldly, he said, I want you back. He's the father of the prodigal. What a picture of our Lord. He stands out and he just keeps watching down the path. Come on back! I'm watching. Where are you? And what a friend. And the son comes back and he throws a party for him. Wow. But are you a friend? Am I a friend? Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Oh, don't you feel bad when you let him down? I sure do. Don't you feel bad when you start leaning toward the world and compromising this and that and everything? We should. But he's our friend. He's our friend. They said, Jesus, he's a friend to sinners. Luke 7, it says a woman came, and it says clearly in the scripture, a woman which was a sinner. It's interesting in the scripture when it talks about the woman which was a sinner, that not only did he know she was a sinner, but it was pretty obvious everybody knew, because the Pharisee, you know, they're all, oh, this woman, she's a sinner. What's she doing with her? And she came to anoint his feet. And everybody knew. But the most important person who knew that she was a sinner was she knew. She knew she was a sinner. And she washed his feet with tears. By the way, it was a custom then to wash a person's feet, because they would wear sandals, they'd walk in dirt, or maybe no shoes at all, and they'd walk in dirt and dust and everything else. And she washed his feet with her hair and her tears. And, oh, they all knew she was a sinner, but she knew she was a sinner. And she knew. And he asked the question, and presented the question, which will love him most? Which is going to love? I mean, here she is. She's bowing down and washing his feet with her hair and her tears, and they hadn't offered to wash anything. Which will love him most? Who's going to be his friend? Well, it's he to whom he forgave most. Well, he forgives everything of everybody. So you know what it falls on? It falls on how much we realize what he forgave. That's what it is. Is my sin exceeding sinful or not? Is yours? Which will love him most? I want to love him most. Number two is the reason for friendship, the responsibility. It's to be a friend. It's to be friendly. A friend, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Number two, the reason for friendship. Well, it's to give to a friend. And Jesus is the best friend. John 15, look at it. John 15, verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13. You talk about a friend. I mean, it's all about giving. It's all about him paying the price. John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I mean, you know, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He paid. He paid. We receive. What's the reason for friendship? To give to your friend. You know, our biggest problem, we're looking for friends. I want somebody to do something for me. I'm looking for friends. I want somebody to give me something. I'm looking for friends. I want somebody to help me. And the Bible teaching is so clear. I'm looking for friends. How can I help them? I'm looking for a friend. How can I do something for them? What can I do to be a blessing? How can I be a blessing? You know, that's why we're always looking at somebody that might be a little better than us, we think. Might have more money than us. Might have more going for them than us. Might be more popular. Well, if I'm their friend, I'll be popular too. And it's all backwards. It's all wrong. What you should be doing is look at somebody that's got it worse than you, somebody that's downtrodden, somebody that's hurting, and say, I'll be your friend. How can I help you? I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you. I mean, just think if you could find somebody who says, hey, you want to be my friend? I'll buy everything for you. You know, hey, let's go out to eat. Okay, good. Yeah, I'll buy for you. Boy, you like to hang around people like that, don't you? Amen. That's why Dave hangs around me all the time. But, you know, but he always buys. We always receive. He always gives. We always receive. Somebody says, well, I give the tithe. It's not yours. What are you talking about? And whatever we have, he gave. You have a job. How'd you get it? You have the health to work it. How did you get it? A lot of people don't have jobs. I mean, honestly, we have become so self-sufficient, we don't recognize all that he gives. He's a friend. There is a friend. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. Again, we recognize he's talking about the Jews, but we also are the same. We're his children. We're even more special, I believe, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Hey, didn't he bring you out with a mighty hand? Well, you say, well, that's talking about Egypt. And no, listen to me. He brought me out with a mighty hand. He brought me out of a life of sin. And he brought me out of a life headed to hell. And he brought me out so he could bring me in to a place called heaven. I mean, come on, folks. Yeah. And hasn't he done that for us? Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I'm just saying, there is a friend. There is a friend. And that friendship started, he said, here's a gift I want to give you. It's called eternal life. You know, one of the fun things about presenting the gospel is when you get to that gift and you talk about the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's that gift that God offers you. It is not something you can pay for. It is not something that you can figure out how to get. It is something he says, I offer it to you. What are the strings? There aren't any strings. You take the gift. It is a gift. It is a true, true gift. You see, we're not saved because of who or what we are. We're saved because of what he did. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, what a friend. He offered that. He knows what we are. I'm amazed every time I think about him saving me, and he did it knowing me. Somebody comes, they say, Pastor, I've really let God down. I got saved and I was serving God, but then I got away from him and I've let him down and all. He knew you would let him down when he saved you. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always ready to reconcile. He's always ready for you to get right. He's always ready for revival to break out in your soul. He's always ready to give. The only problem is us. There is a friend. There is a friend. He is the Lord. And you're not saved because of who or what you are. You're not kept because of who or what you are. And friendship with him is not based on who or what we are. It's all based on him saying, how can I help you? What can I do for you? How can I bless you today? And that amazes me. It really does. The reason for friendship is so he can give. He died on the cross so he can give us eternal life. Because we go to hell without him dying on the cross. And he giveth richly. Come on. You know, we have testimony time. What a blessing it is to hear testimonies of God giving. You know, Kathy Burroughs, the other day, bless her heart. I mean, she just started in. She said, you're not going to believe this. 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 And I'm thinking, you know, Boy, that's so exciting. Amen. And I look out at some folks, you know, while we're singing, and it's like, you know, they haven't gotten anything in a long time, I guess. Or maybe they just didn't recognize it. Whew. You know, because he just keeps giving. But that's how a friend is. There is a friend like that. There really is. There is a friend that buys all the time. Yeah, all the time. There is a friend that he knows what you want before you ever ask. He knows what you need before you even need it. There's a friend that he can afford whatever it is you need and whatever it is that you want. He knows the desire. No, he puts the desire in your heart. Yeah, there's a friend like that. There really is a friend. I wish you would know him as a friend. The last thing, number three, is the result of friendship. He sticketh closer than a brother. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, we turn our back sometimes. Isn't that sad? That's hard to believe. Amen. It is. It's hard to believe he'd have to ever say to us, ye have not, because ye ask not. Isn't that hard to believe? You know, that he would have to tell us that we have not because we ask not. I mean, that's like if you had a millionaire friend and you're starving to death. You know, it's hard to even imagine. And it's hard for me to imagine that God would tell me, ye have not because ye ask not, because he's my friend and he's there all the time and he'll never leave. Never. Never. Praise God. Next to the Lord, my wife is my best friend. I can count on her. I mean, honey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? She sticks close. She's just there. She's always there. And again, next to the Lord, thank God. That's why you ought to marry right. Amen. Because that person is going to be with you for a while. Amen. Till death do us part. Thank God to have a real human friend. But the Lord, you know, the result of our friendship, he just is always there. He's always there. He's there at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. He was there in the hospital room at 2 o'clock the other day, down in the emergency room. He's always there. Always. He's a friend. A friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Is he yours? Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Of his friend. That's why we try to find people dumber than us to hang around, right? Try to find people that aren't as spiritual. About the time somebody starts talking spiritual, you walk away. Yeah, because iron, that sharpening's tough. That's scraping. Some folks can't even handle it. I mean, it makes you chill bumps go down your spine. Right? Yeah. But iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's giving. By the way, that's abiding in Christ. And it will sharpen you to abide in Christ. The more you're around him, the more you change your life. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? He's not changing his mind. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one. Isn't that good? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Oh, how many folks are falling all around us because they don't realize they could have a friend. All around in this world, people fall and they have no one to help them up. He's a friend. He'll always help you up. You say, but I went against him. But I sinned against God. But he's there. He's there. And he wants to help you up. A friend, Proverbs says, loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Whew. Judas betrayed Jesus. You read it. And Jesus said when he comes, he knows he's betraying him. He knows that's why he's there. Jesus says to Judas, he says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Amazing. Amazing. When you fail, there's a friend. When we sin, there's a friend. When we're not loving him like we should, he's still a friend. When we're disloyal to him, he's a friend. When we're unfaithful to him, he's a friend. Thank God, he's my friend. And he is there for adversity. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how, you know, Jeremiah said their faces, it's just, oh my, I can't take it. You know, they're just nasty. And I don't know if you've ever preached, I'm sure Brother Cox has, where folks have been making faces and you know they're not happy and all that. You know what, that's one reason glaucoma can be a blessing. But I'll be honest with you, he's just there. He's your friend no matter what everybody else thinks, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter what they think, no matter what's going on around you. He is there for adversity. He's your friend. I hope he is your friend today. If you're not sure you're saved, he wants you to get saved. That'd be the first act of friendship is he'll give you eternal life. You can't ask for anything better. It's nothing better than that. He paid for it when he died on the cross. He paid our sin debt for us. Can't ask for anything better. And he'll just keep being your friend. He is a friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. I think of Roger laying there in that hospital bed. And, you know, I always wonder, I've never died, obviously. I've never experienced, there's a lot the Bible does not say. And but I know this, I know that Roger has a friend. He's a friend. He said, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. He's a friend. And, you know, you think about going to heaven, you think about all that's involved in that. And I think, you know, I don't know what Roger sees, but I believe that he sees a friend there. If he's not already there, I don't know how all that works. I just know that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know, you say, boy, praise God, I'm looking forward to that someday. Why wait? Let him be your friend today. Give him your burdens. Give him your cares. You have not because you ask not. He's a friend that will just give to you because he's a real friend. A real friend. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking, please. In a moment, we'll give the invitation. But I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure. If I was the one laying in that hospital bed and I was about to pass into eternity, I'm not sure where I would go. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Would you be honest and say, I do not know whether I'm saved. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up. Anyone like that? I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Pray for me. pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life God's dealing with me about. Please pray for me. Raise your hand as a Christian all over. Just slip it up. Amen. Father, please help us to realize you are that friend. And Lord, it's good to have human friends. And certainly I thank you so much for friendships over the years. But God, I pray that we would lean on you as our friend. And God, that we would be a friend to you, that we would seek what we can do for you. I pray that you'll help us to realize there is a friend. Bless the invitation, please. Save those that are lost, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.